from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at WVHTF.org. The West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers. Online at WVAFLCIO.org.
At the legislature today, Senator Donald Cookman, a former circuit judge, appeared before the House Judiciary Committee to explain his bill regarding community correction programs. And Senator Brooks McCabe had some strong advice for his colleagues on the floor yesterday about education and the state's finances. He'll talk with us about it on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Beth Voorhees. With a little more than a week left in the regular session, the chambers are now focused only on bills that were approved across the rotunda. But does that mean the drama we saw on the House floor will also drift over to the Senate? Ashton Mara discussed those hot-button bills with members of the upper chamber today and has this report.
It's day 50 here in the state Senate, but on the floor, it almost felt like day one. After crossover day yesterday, senators are now only able to consider bills that have passed the House, and those bills have now been assigned to committees for their consideration. Members voted on two House bills on the floor, but after that...
Bills on second reading.
There are none.
Bills on first reading.
There are none.
The chamber's calendar was empty. That, however, doesn't mean there isn't work to be done. Bills that were hotly debated in the House are expected to receive just as much attention in the Senate as members of the legislature near their final week of the session. One of those includes House Bill 4411. The bill allows commercial solid waste authorities to dispose of solid waste and drill cuttings from the Marcellus shale industry and makes its first stop in the Senate in the Committee on Government Organization. Senator Herb Snyder chairs that committee and says he believes disposing of drill cuttings in landfills is a much safer practice than allowing companies to bury the waste on site. The problem, Snyder says, is the time limit in the House bill, allowing sites to collect an unlimited amount of tonnage of waste, but only for 2 years.
Because these landfills are making significant multi-million dollar investments to put these additional monofill cells in for the drilling waste only, as it will be required. That the problem is, if they're going to put that kind of money into being part of the system for solid waste and dealing with the drilling waste, they don't want to have it all in 2 years. And then we're back here, legislature trying to decide what to do in 2 years. We know if we did that, we're setting up a problem that's going to hit us between the eyes in 2 years, so why not settle it now?
Delegates spent hours debating another bill over the past few weeks, one that regulates a state constitutional office. House Bill 4490 is known as the Attorney General Ethics and Accountability Act. Attorney General Patrick Morrissey says the bill limits his powers to protect West Virginians as consumers and their Second Amendment rights. Senate Minority Leader Mike Hall says he believes the bill stems from Morrissey's policy of cutting down on the use of outside counsel and major law firms in Charleston losing out on the state funds.
I think a part of this is just it's just a partisan political battle that's kind of worked its way into a policy question. And I think what we have to do is decide, is this policy right or not? And at this point, I don't think it is. I don't think they should be doing that to the office.
Another bill Hall says the Republican caucus is watching closely in the Senate is House Bill 4588, the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Bill. As it came out of the House, the bill restricts abortions to before 20 weeks, with some emergency medical exceptions for the mother. It's referenced first to Senate Health, where Committee Chair Senator Ron Stallings expects to see some changes. But Hall says he agrees with the science that a fetus at that age can feel pain, and the bill comes down to protecting the value of life.
It goes back to the concept of personhood. You know, all the way back to our founding document about the right of life, and if you define an unborn child as life, and that gets disputed. If you listen to debates on the floors from time to time, there's resistance to calling an unborn child a child. The term fetus, whatever, but all the definitions of life are there. Classic definitions of life are there. You don't need a religious book to prove that. So that we are defending basically a proposition that we've held sacred for over, you know, our entire history. And this is just an expression of it.
Similar legislation in the past has easily been approved by the upper chamber, but died in the House. Snyder says it's interesting to see the flip this year, but says since he joined the Senate in 1997, he has always voted pro-choice and intends to participate in the conversation surrounding this bill.
Quite frankly, I think abortion is an horrendous practice in any situation. Certainly unheard of after 20 weeks of gestation. My personal choice, even though I'm pro-choice, my personal choice has been life. I have 6 children, so I practice pro-life in my own life. But again, when you get into medical emergencies or the baby in some way has either died or deformed beyond repair and so forth within the womb, it opens up. It's a very emotional debate, but we do need to look at the medical side of this too.
While Snyder and Hall may be on opposing sides of the abortion bill, both agreed on some Senate bills they think will see major changes in the House. The senators expect delegates to rework the pseudoephedrine bill, a bill allowing some elected county officials pay raises, and the legislation relating to municipal gun ordinances. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in the Senate.
And there was little action during the House floor session the day after the flurry of crossover day. The only Senate bill on third reading, Senate Bill 603, relating to testing for presence of methane in underground mines, will lie over. And amendments offered to bills on second reading about marriages and annulments and investment practices were merely technical in nature and caused no controversy. Now that the House may only consider Senate bills, all the action moves back to the committee rooms where Aaron Payne was today.
Among the 7 bills discussed in the House Judiciary Committee was Senate Bill 307, authorizing community correction programs to operate pretrial release programs, which could range from work release programs to decreasing the cost of an issued bond. The intended purpose of the program is to decrease the cost of counties having to hold these people in jails. Pilot programs have been implemented in a few counties, such as Ohio and Wood. The programs would be voluntary for each county and would allow the release of persons without bond in certain circumstances. It would also implement extra monitoring on those released on bond. Some delegates were curious as to how the program would work without bonds. Phil Real, representing bondsmen, didn't have a problem with not issuing a full bond, but did have a concern about not issuing any bond at all.
There are some areas in which you ought to observe some concern, which would be that if you are releasing somebody either on a pre- or post-trial release under conditions and terms established by this council, which would set forth whether it's going to be a work program or, drug therapy or whatever it might be, that one of the conditions be that they have at least some minimal bail.
One of the sponsors of the bill, Senator Donald Cookman, attended the House Judiciary meeting to field questions. Delegate John Ellum asked what the circumstances for someone to be eligible for the program were. He explained that in his home county of Wood, the pilot program was not finding many candidates.
As you know, the legislation, proposed legislation now is not mandatory, and counties could opt to be in or out of it whichever they chose. But it would be for nonviolent offenders, basically. And my great interest in it is in going around the various counties, and even when I was judge and prosecuting attorney before that, every county that I ever talked to, when I asked them about what their main concern was, and that was jail expenses. And this is just another thing that would help, in my opinion, to reduce the jail expenses each county has to incur.
After further explanation of the bill, Delegate Misha Poore determined the pretrial programs could possibly bolster the current system in place.
So this is really tightening up, to some extent, our bond process now. to require them to pay the fee that they currently have to pay to the court. And then there's additional step of having to report to that person and even give more additional money to the counties if they meet that requirement.
I think so. And it's still, the bottom line is still up to the judge as to whether or not this, the magistrate or the circuit judge, as to whether or not this would be applied or not.
The committee approved the bill to be reported to the floor with the recommendation that it do pass. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Aaron Payne in the House.
In a moment, we'll talk with Senator Brooks McCabe of Kanawha County, who is retiring from the Senate this year. But first, at this session, there were 1,242 bills introduced in the House, 631 in the Senate. Here's a look at the 11 bills, 6 from the Senate and 5 from the House, which have completed their legislative journeys and have been signed or awaiting the governor's signature. Senate Bill 341, making a supplemental appropriation from state excess lottery revenue to the Division of Human Services. Senate Bill 346, making a supplemental appropriation from lottery net profits to the Division of Natural Resources and the Bureau of Senior Services. Senate Bill 402, to permit recovery of service charges and fees charged to the tax commissioner by financial institutions relating to all permitted forms of payment returned or not duly paid. Senate Bill 443, relating to rules of the state police retirement system. Senate Bill 444, relating to rules of the public employees retirement system. Senate Bill 452, relating to the teacher's retirement system annuity calculation of a member with reciprocal service credit. House Bill 4177, making a supplemental appropriation to various state agencies. House Bill 4182, supplementing, amending, increasing, decreasing, and adding items of appropriations of various state accounts. House Bill 4350, providing for the awarding of a West Virginia Veterans Medal and Ribbon and a West Virginia Service Cross and Ribbon to certain qualifying veterans to be administered by the Adjutant General of the West Virginia National Guard. House Bill 4359 provides for the renewal of lapsed managing general agent licenses. The bill was at the request of the Division of Insurance. And House Bill 4372, permitting the Commissioner of Financial Institutions to require the filing of certain reports, data, or information directly with the Division of Financial Institutions, and that the information is not public record. This bill was at the request of the Division of Financial Institutions. Joining us tonight is Senator Brooks McCabe, a businessman from Charleston. He was first elected to the Senate in 1998. He is not seeking re-election this year, and this second regular session of the 81st West Virginia Legislature is his last. Senator McCabe, welcome. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you.
What was your message to the Senate yesterday? What did you want them to take away?
We need to properly fund teachers, and more than what this pay raise represents. But we also need to realign the educational system so the teachers can really do what they're trained to do. So we have to look at the system, how to make it more efficient, how to put the dollars in place so we can fund it. And all of that has to be done, frankly, at the same time we look at teacher salaries. And this year, we're putting in place these additional dollars, but we don't have the money. We're actually borrowing it from the rainy day fund. So we've got to have the money. We have to have a plan for raising the salaries and also making the teaching effort and the entire school system more efficient and cost effective.
Why do you think they needed to hear that? They don't know that already?
We know it. Everybody agrees. But it's easier to take a piece at a time. It's much harder to say we have to redesign the system. We have to figure out how to not just find $30 million, but hundreds of millions of dollars. How can we find that amount of money and at the same time redesign the system and at the same time put in place the kinds of salaries that we need? It's a much bigger task. It's harder to do. It's easier to kind of nip around the edges and fund small raises, but we'll never catch up. We'll never get in the middle of the pack with the states around us and nationally until we really look at the heavy lifting.
We've had an education audit that led to education reform last year. That wasn't enough. Where do we go next?
I think we need to say, rather than an $800 to $1,000 increase, how do we get to increasing our teacher salaries by $10,000? That is a huge amount of money as far as the budget itself. That translates into hundreds of millions of dollars. But that's the level of increase in salaries that you need to really be competitive. I think we need to say, let's set the bar at where it ought to be, and then let's find out how to get the money. Part of it will be additional money into the system, and part of it will be savings found within the system. And the savings within the system is just as hard to identify as the additional dollars outside of the system.
Do you think there's a lot of waste at the Department of Education? There's a lot of money that can be scooped up and used for other things?
I wouldn't say it's waste. I think everyone's trying to do the best they can. It's a matter of properly allocating. It's a matter of looking at the system and saying, maybe we need locational pay. Maybe we need to pay additional dollars for teachers in the STEM programs. Maybe we need to be able to bus students across county lines. Maybe we need to be able to build schools that serve multiple counties at the same time. These are system changes that are, it's a mindset that there's more than just the dollars.
All right. Moving on, the Future Fund, we know you support it and we know why. But why do you think the House and the governor are so reluctant about the Future Fund?
I think there's a fear that you're committing future dollars and we need to capture all the dollars that we can find to fund our programs.
Yeah, that's right. We were just talking about that very thing.
And from my perspective, as you go forward and as you look at additional income that might be coming in, you have to budget money for development of the state itself, to invest back into infrastructure. It's more than just operations, and particularly with severance dollars, which are funds from a diminishing resource, we have to take some of those money and invest back in the state of West Virginia. And I think the Future Fund is an appropriate way to look at it.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this goes through the House this year. You'll be following
it'll
it closely.
It'll be a fun watch.
Let's talk about the water, because you live in Charleston. Mm-hmm. Are you using the water?
Yes.
All right. You had proposed a bill, introduced a bill called the West Virginia Water Sustainability Institute to promote innovative technology to identify, invent, and use through scientific methods purification technologies for detecting and removing pollutants from water supplies. Now, this bill didn't go anywhere this particular year, but what's the reason you wanted to introduce this bill? What did you expect this Sustainability Institute to do?
We have a heightened attention on water quality. Mm-hmm. The future of West Virginia, really, if you're going to be an energy state, you've got to focus on the energy, also focus on water and air. Water quality is just vital. We don't have the research organizations in place right now from an institutional perspective. We have the expertise between the scientists in Charleston, in Huntington, Morgantown. We have the expertise. They need to be organized around an institute. We need to properly fund it, and we need to work our way towards being a recognized national leader in studying water quality, how to make it part of an energy state, how to be assured that communities will have safe drinking water. Water is a huge issue going forward, and we need to be at the center of that, and part of it is a research institute.
In the little time I have left with you, I would like to know, what is your advice for the person who will be in your seat next session?
Listen and pay attention and work towards agreement. Try to take issues that are less divisive, that have a better chance of creating a consensus, bring us together, get everyone to trust each other, and then start building on that.
Is that what you have managed to do?
That's what I've tried to do.
Since 1998.
Depending on the issue, I've had more success in some areas than others, but that's clearly my style.
Will you miss it?
I won't miss it so much because I'm looking always to the future. Have I enjoyed it? Yes. Have I felt my time has been well spent? Yes. But I'm not going to dwell on the past. I'm ready for for my next journey.
Kanawha County Senator Brooks McCabe, good to talk to you, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no bills up for passage or on second reading in the Senate tomorrow. So here's a look at what's coming up in the House. Up for passage in the House tomorrow, Senate Bill 58, relating to the basis for voidable marriages and annulments, and Senate Bill 499, making the Prudent Investor Act the primary standard of care for the State Investment Management Board. The bill removes limitations on the different classes of investment while retaining restrictions aimed at fostering due diligence and appropriate investment. This has been the Legislature Today. Tomorrow, Ashton Mara is your host as we wrap up our series of discussions with our colleagues in the Capitol Press Corps. Joining us will be Phil Kabler, State House reporter for the Charleston Gazette, and Dave Boucher, State House reporter for the Charleston Daily Mail. I'm Beth Voorhees. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Support provided by High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at WVHTF.org. Additional support for the legislative coverage provided by the West Virginia AFL-CIO. The voice for West Virginia workers. Online at WVAFLCIO.org.